Good morning. Today we follow the order of worship as you find it printed in your service bulletin. I invite you to stand for the altar service. O Lord,
have mercy upon us.
O Christ,
have mercy upon us.
O Lord, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. I believe that God has created me and all creatures. He has given me my body and life, eyes, ears, and all my bodily members, my mind and all my senses, and still keeps them for me. God also preserves me by richly and daily providing clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all my property, and all I need to support this body and life. He protects me from all danger. He guards and defends me from every evil. God does this because He is my good and gracious Father in heaven, not because of anything I have done to earn or deserve it. For all of this, it is my duty to thank, praise, serve, and obey Him. Amen.
Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in His grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next.
Unto you have I cried, O Lord. Let my mouth be filled with your praise. Hide your face from my sins. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Do not cast me away from your presence. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Help us, gracious Lord, this day
to keep us without sin.
O Lord, let your mercy be upon us.
As our trust is in you.
Hear my prayer, O Lord,
and let my cry ascend to you.
The Lord be with you.
The Lord bless you.
thanks to God the Father now be given. The Son and Him who reigns with them in highest heaven. The one eternal God, whom earth and heaven adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore. Please be seated. First of our scriptures on this Thanksgiving Day festival morning is recorded in Paul's letter to the Philippians, verses drawn from chapter 4, in which we are encouraged and exhorted to be thankful for all of God's gifts to us in our everyday lives, and to also learn to be content in whatever the circumstances may be, which the Lord, in His guidance and direction of our lives as our Heavenly Father. We read there in Philippians 4, 6 to 20, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you send aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory, forever and ever. Amen." Continue then with a devotional reading drawn from Martin Luther's large catechism, his comments on the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." Luther writes, "Here now we consider the poor breadbasket, the necessities of our body and of the temporal life. It is a brief and simple word, but it has a very wide scope. For when you mention and pray for daily bread, you pray for everything that is necessary in order to have and enjoy daily bread. On the other hand, you also pray against everything that interferes with it. Therefore, you must open wide and extend your thoughts not only to the oven or the flour bin, but also to the distant field and the entire land, which bears and brings to us daily bread and every sort of nourishment. For if God did not cause food to grow, and he did not bless and preserve it in the field, we could never take bread from the oven or have any to set upon the table. To sum things up, this petition includes everything that belongs to our entire life in the world. It's not only necessary for our life that our body have food and clothes and other necessaries, it is also necessary that we spend our days in peace and quiet among the people with whom we live and have dealings in daily business and conversation and all sorts of doings. In short, this petition applies both to the household and also to the neighborly or civil relationship and government, where these two things are hindered so that they do not prosper as they should. The necessaries of life also are hindered. Ultimately, life cannot be maintained. On this topic, anyone might indeed make a long prayer. With many words, one could list all the things that are included, like when we ask God to give us food and drink, clothing, house and home, and health of body, or when we ask that he cause the grain and fruit of the field to grow and mature well. Furthermore, we ask that he help us at home towards good housekeeping, and that he give and preserve for us a godly wife, children, and servants. We ask that he cause our work, trade, or whatever we are engaged in to prosper and succeed. Favor us with faithful neighbors and good friends and other such things. Likewise, we ask that he give wisdom, success, and strength to the governing authorities, and that he give to subjects and the common people obedience, peace, and harmony in their life with one another. On the other hand, we ask that he would preserve us from all sorts of disaster to body and livelihood, like lightning, hail, fire, flood, poison, plague, cattle disease, war and bloodshed, famine, destructive beasts, wicked men, and so forth. But this petition is especially directed against our chief enemy, the devil. For all his thought and desire is to deprive us of all that we have from God or to hinder it. He isn't satisfied to obstruct and destroy spiritual government by leading souls astray by his lies and bringing them under his power. He also prevents and hinders the stability of all government and honorable, peaceable relations on earth. There he causes so much contention, murder, sedition, and war. He also causes lightning and hail to destroy grain and cattle, to poison the air, and so on. In short, he is sorry if anyone has a morsel of bread from God and eats it in peace. If it were in his power and our prayer next to God did not prevent him, we would not keep a straw in the field, a farthing in the house, yes, not even our life for an hour. It's especially true of those who have God's word and would like to be Christians. You see, in this way, God wishes to show us how he cares for us in all of our need and faithfully provides also for our earthly support. He abundantly grants and preserves these things even for the wicked. And yet, he wishes that we pray for these goods in order that we may recognize that we receive them from his hand and may feel his fatherly goodness towards us in them. Here ends the devotional reading. Continue with the next hymn, 892.
Come, ye, make all me more proud. Praise.
remain seated. Grace and peace be multiplied to you from God, our gracious Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our pondering on this Thanksgiving morning is Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. In the name of our generous God, from whom all blessings flow, dear friends, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings and see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Those are the words of a hymn that was composed by Johnson Oatman Jr., an American hymn writer of the late 19th, early 20th centuries. In the hymn, he gave expression to a truth set forth in many verses of Holy Scripture, namely, that as we pilgrim through this temporary world towards our eternal heavenly fatherland, we have abundant reason to express our gratitude to God for the numerous evidences of his merciful goodness. In this morning's meditation, we're going to do some counting of his blessings, 13 of them, randomly presented in no particular order of rank or importance. And these were also among the blessings that a number of you placed on the altar that you mentioned that you are thankful for to your God. So along the way, we're also going to be sharing Bible verses with these blessings that show us about our God's goodness and furnish us indeed with abundant reasons for saying thank you, Lord, for the many blessings of your love for both our bodies and our souls. Blessing one, someone mentioned, healing of our sicknesses. Bible verse in Matthew 4, verse 23, that says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sicknesses and diseases among the people. Jesus does the same for you and me today. Who enables us to recover from cold and flu bugs and other bodily ailments? Who uses medicines and health practitioners to help us to recuperate from surgeries? Who is it that does that for us? And when he permits bodily ailments to linger, which happens especially a little bit more as we get older, who makes them serve for our blessing? It's Jesus. I was reminded of a verse from Paul's letter to the Corinthians where he spoke about a thorn in the flesh that the Lord called on him to endure, some unnamed chronic physical ailment that gave Paul problems recurringly. Might have been migraines, might have been a visual impairment or some other bodily problem. And we're told how Paul prayed to the Lord three times to remove it. And the Lord's answer to his prayer was, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So I will use this ailment to help you spiritually, keep you humble, depending on me for strength, and then you'll be really strong. We too, friends, are thankful, aren't we, for healing from illnesses and also for infirmities that linger, knowing that our gracious God is using them for our blessing, to help us to lean on him more for daily strength, not on our own weak selves. And then in him, we are especially strong. Another blessing someone mentioned, restful sleep. Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2 says, "It's vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep." What a precious blessing, wouldn't you agree, a good night's rest is? The Lord's recharging our physical batteries so that we can serve him and those around us in our daily walk of life with renewed energy and vim and vigor. It's true we may experience sometimes, perhaps many times, restless nights, tossing and turning on our pillow with cares weighing on our minds, but we know, as another psalm tells us, the Lord never slumbers or sleeps. He's our keeper, preserves our going out from one day to the next, comforts us in every trouble. "Fear not, I'm with you, be not dismayed, I am your God. I'll strengthen you, yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Another blessing, family. Psalm 68:6 says, "God sets the solitary, the lonely, into families. He blesses us with dear ones, with fathers, with mothers, with grandparents, siblings to love us, to lean on for support and encouragement along our life's path, and people close to us, we can enjoy their company and their camaraderie and their conversation. And if we're not blessed to have an earthly family, the Lord then sets us in church families to encourage us and support us and pray for us, Christian brothers and sisters to do things like provide us with rides to church, like some of you mentioned. One of the big reasons the Lord counsels us to gather as a family here at church faithfully is so that we might encourage each other in our mutual faith, comfort and edify each other with the message that Christ died for us and rose again, that whether we're awake or asleep, we should live together with him. You know, in Bible times, it was customary for Christians who came together for worship and fellowship to greet one another with a holy kiss. That was an expression of the love that they shared as brothers and sisters in Christ. Today, we have a different custom, don't we? We have the custom of expressing our oneness in the Lord and our mutual love for each other as Christian brethren by the custom of handshaking. That's a lot more than just, for Christians, more than just a hello, how you doing? We're saying God has made us one in Christ to encourage each other. Another blessing, top of the list, I guess you would say, Jesus, someone put on a slip of paper. "Thanks be to God for Jesus, his most indescribable gift. We've been blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We have in our possession the unsearchable, that is, the indescribably precious and valuable riches of Christ, the happy knowledge that God chose us in Christ before he made the world so that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, the priceless gift in Christ of our justification, of our God's forgiveness full and free, and of a heavenly inheritance that awaits us in the future, thanks to him." Close in value with Jesus is his word, someone put down. Faith comes by hearing. How did you get to be in the family of Jesus and brothers and sisters of one another? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Peter writes, "We were born again, not of perishable seed, but the imperishable seed of God's word, which lives and abides forever." That same word, which Paul calls the sword of the Spirit, part of the powerful armament God has given to us, whereby he enables us to stand against the wiles of the devil. No wonder the psalmist says concerning the word of God, more precious than thousands of coins, silver and gold. And related to the gospel in word, the gospel in Holy Communion was mentioned. That banquet for our souls where Jesus affords us personal assurance of his forgiving love and of our being heirs with him of heavenly glory. How thankful we should be, and we are, that on the night of his betrayal, he took bread, gave thanks, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. This is my blood of the new covenant shed for the remission of sins," and blessed us with opportunities for doing this in remembrance of him and to proclaim his death until he comes. Another blessing was mentioned, pastors. Thank the Lord that he gives his church called workers for the building up of his people in Christ and equipping them for works of service for his praise. Just as in 1 Thessalonians, we read about how Paul sent the young pastor Timothy to the city of Thessalonica to encourage his fellow Christians who lived in that town in their Christian faith. He does the same for his people today, blesses us with pastors and teachers. And as we thank him for gifting us with called workers, may we also be reminded of the need for more, that pray the Lord would send out more workers into his harvest to gather in souls for him and so that they might be strengthened in their faith. Another blessing, opportunities for worship. Think about this, the blessing. Maybe take that for granted too sometimes. We shouldn't. Being able to gather here to praise God for his benefits to us, and having a place we can congregate to sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord for teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, for entering into the Lord's gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. What a blessing. Thank you, Lord. My Father's unceasing love. You know, human love isn't always so durable, not always very dependable. God, our Heavenly Father's love is. Tells us, Jeremiah 31:3, "I've loved you with an everlasting love." Lamentations 3, "His steadfast love and mercies are new every morning." Psalm 36, "His faithfulness reaches to the clouds." You know, Isaiah the prophet, he wrote in one of his chapters, he said, "It's like the waters of Noah to me, says the Lord. For as I've sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so I've sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and hills be removed, but my kindness towards you will never depart, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you." And then you know what he did? He put that rainbow up in the sky as a sign of his eternal covenant. So whenever you see a rainbow, exactly 1 month ago today on October 27th, I checked back on my phone, went in the backyard, and there was a full rainbow across the sky back here on a rainy day. So when you see a rainbow, you can be reminded of this and say, "Thank you for your unceasing love to me in Christ." Two more, or three more. Turkey. With all the fixings. Thank you, dear God, for groceries, for fast food and delicious sit-down meals that you use to bless me with bodily sustenance. Psalm 104 says that he waters the hills from his upper chambers, he causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine that makes glad the heart of man. The Lord gives us the crops, and he also gives us, Matthew 5:45, Jesus says, he makes his sun rise and sends his rain to all the citizens of the earth, to both the good and the evil, and that we might have food to eat and things to enjoy for our bodily nourishment. Second to last blessing mentioned, there were more, I just picked out 13, this is blessing 12, pets. By the way, there's lessons we can learn from pets, and also from particularly pet dogs. Remember the story of Jesus and the Canaanite woman? Called out to Jesus on the road, pleading with him to help her demon-possessed daughter, and the Lord pretended to pay her never mind, ignore her, and when she kept on calling out after him, he said to her, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. She said, yes, Lord, but even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And the Lord then said to her, woman, you've got a great faith, and granted her desire. So the lesson there is, be dogged, no pun intended, with your prayers. Be persistent. Luther, in one of his table talks, actually more than once, he would often express his fondness for dogs. And he had a deep affection for his pet dog, Clowny. In one of those table talks, he said, oh, if only I could pray to the Lord the way my little dog looks at the meat, expecting to receive something, being doggedly persistent till his master gives in. So whenever you see a dog, your pet dog, or a dog walking on the street with a dog walker, you can be reminded of the importance and the blessing of God. You have to thank him for your prayers, the ability to pray, and that he answers you in a way that's good. Last blessing mentioned today, living in a country where we're blessed with law and order. There's no authority except that which comes from God, which he has established, the Bible teaches us. He's the one that appoints governing authorities, and he does it for the blessing of society, to keep the public peace and the rule of law. And with this in mind in particular, so that the saving message of the gospel of Christ, crucified and risen, can be more easily shared for the blessing of souls, so that more and more people can learn, as we have learned, to thank the Lord for his gifts, and especially the blessing of his undeserved love as revealed in his Son, Jesus Christ. So we certainly could count up more blessings of the Lord, but let these suffice. May they be reminders to us of his fatherly goodness to us and of the many reasons we have for worshiping him and saying, thank you, God, through every season of the year. Close then with this hymn stanza of thanksgiving. Praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me adore him. All that has life and breath, come now with praises before him. Let the amen sound from his people again. Gladly, forever, adore him. Amen. And we continue now with the receiving of the offering. Let's pray. We'll use the psalm prayer. The pastor will lead the congregation in, and then we'll pray together the morning prayer of Martin Luther. Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion, and to you the vow shall be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Iniquities will prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. By awesome deeds and righteousness, you will answer us, O God of our salvation. You who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far-off seas, who established the mountains by his strength, being clothed with power. You who still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. They also dwell in the farthest parts. They who dwell in the farthest parts are afraid of your signs. You make the outgoings of the morning and the evening rejoice. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. We thank you, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept us this night from all harm and danger. And we pray that you would keep us this day also from sin and every evil, that all our doings and life may please you. For into your hands we commend ourselves, our bodies and souls, and all things. Let your holy angels be with us, that the evil foe may have no power over us. Amen. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Closing hymn.
And with your help, O Lord,
our struggles we win. With voices united, our praises we offer, and gladly our songs of thanksgiving we raise. With you, Lord, beside us, your strong arm will guide us.